Welcome to the Strategy Driven Editorial Perspective Podcast, where we examine the marketplace uncertainty created by today's headline events and the actions business leaders should take to ensure their organizations succeed under these circumstances. Today, I am joined by George Pantos, Executive Director of the Healthcare Performance Management Institute. George will share with us his insights on how companies can keep their current healthcare insurance plans in light of the recently passed healthcare legislation and under what circumstances they may wish to do so. So now, without any further delays, let's get started. We are privileged to be joined by George Pantos, Executive Director of the Healthcare Performance Management Institute, a research and education organization dedicated to promoting the use of business technology and management principles that deliver better and more cost-effective healthcare benefits for employers who provide health insurance coverage for employees and their dependents. George, welcome to the Strategy Driven Editorial Perspective Podcast.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here and delighted to work with you on this.
I'm thrilled to have you on the show, particularly to talk to us about a topic that I know is at the forefront of every economic discussion that we're having today, and is certainly at the foremost of the minds of executives, whether they're from companies that are large or that are very small. And, George, I wanted to start out our conversation by asking you if the prevailing wisdom was true that companies were all going to, because of the healthcare reform, have to change out their health insurance plans, or if there was an option that would allow companies to continue to keep the current insurance plans they already offer their employees?
Well, the starting point, I think, is that healthcare costs are going north even while the economy is going south. And health costs next year are projected to increase by 9%. And that doesn't even take into account costs of health reform under Obamacare. Mm-hmm. This is generally the view of most reputable groups and most current surveys. These costs are just basically not sustainable over the long run. And for many plans, not even sustainable in the short term.
Sure.
Now, while there is some question as to the prevailing wisdom, what is the prevailing wisdom, it's still too early to be sure. Some employers, and mostly larger firms, are reported to be looking at the same old employee cost-sharing strategy. That is, pass along higher health costs to employees. Employers who employ this strategy will have to amend their plans, clearly. This will jeopardize their valuable grandfather plan status under the health reform law and the rules. The point here is that this may not be necessary if plans can take action to offset rising costs with tested cost control strategies that mitigate the need to amend plans with the customary employee sharing response. In other words, employers need to take control of their plans and implement new strategies to reduce costs. And this approach, I believe, offers a realistic option for employers to keep the plans they already have under the health reform law.
Okay. Now, George, are there certain circumstances under which a company would find it desirable to keep their current health insurance plans, given all of the changes that are coming about with the Health Care Reform Act?
Definitely, yes. The health reform law passed by Congress offers employers with plans in existence on March 23rd of this year, 2010, mm-hmm. the option to keep these existing plans, which are referred to as grandfathered plans, rather than become subject to a whole host of new costly mandates, such as, I will discuss in a moment. Remember, keep your plan was an Obama promise. That's why the law provides for grandfather plan status. The key point here is that grandfather status insulates plans from new federal mandates. That's why it's so valuable. These federal mandates generally kick in starting in 2014. In other words, 3 years down the road, we'll see some new requirements that are very costly, such as first dollar preventive care. In other words, no co-pays will be permitted, and such mandate as external claims review. This is to mention just a few. So under those guidelines, I think it's better to be grandfathered than not grandfathered. And keep in mind, there's another point that's quite important. Once you're grandfathered, you can remain that way as long as you do not make these changes, and because the grandfather status doesn't sunset. It can be indefinite, reaching down into 2016, 17, 18, when a whole host of other mandates kick in. So looking at the whole picture, HHS has issued interim rules that place some significant limits on grandfather status. In other words, you want to keep your plan, you better not make certain changes. That's what the rules seem to say. These rules, another important point, these rules will be finalized later this year. They're interim rules now. But even under those circumstances, as written, they put very tight handcuffs on employers who are generally, traditionally accustomed to making regular changes to plan terms as part of the normal plan administration. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. Any changes in coinsurance percentages, let's say it's now 16% and you want to increase it to 17%. Well, you do that, you lose grandfather status. So while I agree there must be some reasonable parameters to allowing changes, the rules are, in my opinion, overly rigid and inconsistent with what I call traditional principles of plan administration. And this makes it very difficult for employers accustomed to making annual plan changes to do so in response to higher costs. There's been quite a pushback from large employer groups, too. Some of the larger national associations, such as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the American Benefits Council, have already filed comments protesting the rules.
Now, George, if a company wants to have this option and maintain the option of having their plans grandfathered, what actions do they have to take to make sure that they fall into that category?
Well, our listeners here need to be aware of a game-changing approach to health plan cost control.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Health Performance Management. HPM for short. Under this business strategy, employer plan sponsors can adopt a tested business strategy known as performance management and apply that to the management of their corporate health program. As executive director of the HPM Institute, I'm excited to spread the gospel of this business strategy, a real transformative way that employers can manage their health plans just like they manage other aspects of their business with data, analytics, and metrics. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that tools and technology are now available that allow businesses to use these strategies to reduce costs. Thus, this offers employers a new way to look at, to control and manage their plans rather than the old way that gives that control over to insurance companies.
Okay. Now, George, what are we looking at in terms of cost for implementing a health care performance management program? And do you have some examples of companies
Sure.
that have moved forward?
I do. HPM is really a cost-efficient strategy that can easily be installed as a component of plan administration and management. As a matter of fact, many enterprises around the country are successfully using the HPM strategy to lower costs already. Mm-hmm. It can be generally employed on a licensing basis from HPM software developer member per month basis. Let me cite a couple of examples. There's a South Carolina assisted living company with 1,300 employees operating in 5 states that is using HBM. It's reduced its cost by over $1.3 million in the first year with changes in the way its prescription drug program is administered using HBM principles. Another example, a suburban Philadelphia township with, I think it's 400 or 500 employees, health costs draining the general fund. They employ HBM principles to analyze the workforce health risk and identify the potentially the highest cost to its self-insured plan. Pharmacy claims data were used by this township to conduct an overview of health patterns and warning signs. Using that data, the township installed a smoking cessation program, a weight management program, and offered incentives for employees to enroll in an exercise program with points used as deductions from employee financial contributions to the health plan. By the end of the first year, 26% of high and moderate risk employees were working with care managers, up from 5% before the incentive program was in place. The company expects to reduce health costs by $500,000 or more annually. And looking at that in retrospect, the key was access to plan data. So, that's an important point to emphasize. Access to valuable plan claims data opens the door to tested tools like analytics, predictive modeling, metrics. These are elements that lead to informed decisions and actionable strategies to mitigate plan risk.
Sure. These are tools that we use commonly in manufacturing and other aspects of the business. It would make only good sense that we would use them in our performance management. Sure. And I imagine these companies, besides just getting these large returns as far as reduction in cost, that they're getting a large actually return on investment, because I'm guessing that the analytics don't cost nearly as much to put in place as the return they're getting.
No, they don't. It's based on a per member per month charge, which is reasonable.
Okay. Now, George, it's also been my experience when I help companies go forward with these kind of changes is that there's other benefits, and they may be non-financial benefits, but there's other benefits that people don't think about when making such a change. And I was wondering if you might speak to some of the other benefits that are realized with a healthcare performance management program.
Right. The answer to that is most definitely yes. HPM can be a win-win-win all the way around. For example, a healthier workforce means a more productive workforce, and this in turn sets the stage for greater profitability, and I can hasten to add, even improved shareholder value.
Certainly, I can think of the many times on Strategy Driven we talk about the number of sick days people take and how when you do planning, that's a very significant contributor to the number of folks you need in your workforce to maintain a higher level of productivity. And if you can just reduce the number of sick days by 1% across your workforce, that's a huge return on investment.
That's correct. And it just makes common sense to take this approach and to create a system that incorporates these principles and applies them and allows them to be measured and managed and to be able to see the results in a variety of ways.
Yes. Oh, very much so. And now I've read some articles where some CEOs of some very large companies, one in particular that I'm familiar with down in the South here, without naming the company specifically, the CEO came out and said that it would actually be cheaper for them to simply stop providing their employees health care and pay the fine. I was wondering if you could talk to us a bit about that. And, you know, are you seeing companies that are actually thinking about dropping health care coverage for their employees and paying a fine to avoid whether it's the cost of the healthcare performance management program or the cost associated with changing their plans?
Certainly that's an option for some employers, and some, I think, will follow that route. The bottom line here is I think every company will need to do its own analysis and make its own decision. This is an issue that depends on a lot of different factors, including a company's unique circumstances, its company size, the industry, the region where it's located, whether it's insured or self-insured, and most importantly, and I think this one has to be underlined, the vision that the top management of the company has of the role the workforce plays in its enterprise mission. For example, mm-hmm. a small employer, let's say when I say small employer, I mean less than 100 employees, may see this issue quite differently from a mid-sized employer, that is an employer with less than 2,500 employees, while a very large employer with over 3,000 employees, let's say, will most likely take a different view. And clearly for some employers, this decision may be to simply stop providing health coverage and allow employees to go into the exchanges and pay the penalty. Now, generally, self-insured employers who have direct access to their own plan claims data mm-hmm. will have an advantage in employing HPM over insured employers, since the insurers are reluctant to give up data, such as claims data. Okay. At the same time, insured employers increasingly are carving out RX drug benefits into self-insured standalone plans. This provides access to the RX drug claims data, and the Institute has recently issued a white paper on the importance and benefit of RX drug data in the analytics. Let me say there, at this point, valuable data has been developed by the Institute. It's on the website at www.hpminstitute.org. That's hpminstitute.org. And for more precise or specific information, I can be contacted at gpantos@hpminstitute.org. I have a closing thought here. Okay. I think it may be wiser for employers to really take a deep breath and mark time until the final grandfather rules are issued later this year or early next year, rather than to make premature decisions. In this context, it's important to consider how to preserve valuable grandfather status rather than going the traditional route of just simply passing the cost on to employees. In the meantime, while we're waiting for these final regs, employers can incorporate HPM strategies to reduce plan costs in the short term. As I indicated before, some employers have seen cost reductions up to $1 million in the first year, and improve workforce well-being for both the short term and the long run. In the final analysis, a very important key issue here is whether the current employment-based system will be sustained over the long run. Now, grandfather status will allow employers to keep their current plans indefinitely. As I said before, they're not sunsetted. And this may turn out in the long run to be a huge advantage as a lot of these costly mandates start kicking in down the road. It's clear to me, at least, that the current plan administration model passing costs along means that grandfather status most likely is not sustainable over the long run. What's needed is a new paradigm, which incorporates the use of technology to plan performance management, just like other aspects of enterprise management. Mm-hmm. This is critical to retaining grandfather status and preserving the private employment-based system.
Great. And, George, I want to thank you not only for taking time to be with us this evening, but for sharing your insights on the recently enacted healthcare law and what business leaders can do to retain their already existing health insurance plans and to move forward with the cost savings in the healthcare performance management program. So thank you again for joining us.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this edition of the Strategy-Driven Editorial Perspective podcast. We've shared our view and invite you to share yours at www.strategydriven.com. Until next time, so long.